For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access, with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, my Rock, my Redeemer. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 to 13. Shaila, my wife, and I were discussing our past generations recently. We realized that our great-grandfathers were Hindus. But when the gospel reached our grandfathers in the early 20th century, they gave their hearts to Jesus and converted to Christianity. Society at that point was deeply divided into caste system, of course, even today in the rural areas. The high caste Brahmins identified the Christian religion as a low caste because many low caste people converted to Christianity. So they identified Christianity with the low caste. But here is a change. When Brahmins started confronting the gospel, though high caste people, they began to give their hearts to the Lord. That's where the challenge comes in the society. Life was extremely difficult for these high caste converted Brahmins. They were brutally persecuted because they brought disgrace to their families and religion. Both low caste and high caste converts faced rejection in society. Yet soon new communities formed as Christians, in which both high caste and low caste came together in worship and shared meals. This was indeed a miracle, I must say, because low caste people quite often were untouchables. The gospel has the power to bring such transformation in Indian society. This is the picture we see in today's reading from Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1 to 13. In the previous chapter, Paul introduced the subject of Jews and Gentiles becoming a household of God, built on the foundation of the teachings of the apostles and prophets, and Christ as the cornerstone, built as a holy temple to God. And that is the church where God dwells in it by his Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. So, in today's reading, the verse begins like this: For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Paul introduces himself as the prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles, and assumes that his readers have already heard God's administration or stewardship of God's grace that was given to him for their benefit, for Paul. The administration of his apostleship or ministry was not chosen by Paul, but it was God who sovereignly commissioned Paul with the calling. God gave him spiritual gifts, opportunities, knowledge, and authority to minister as the apostle to the Gentiles. There are many verses that prove this state of Paul's ministry among Gentiles, starting from his conversion, Acts chapter 9. However, it is important to understand that Paul was not speaking figuratively when he identified himself as a prisoner. In actuality, he was a prisoner of the Roman authorities for nearly 5 years when he wrote this letter. Paul's imprisonment began in Jerusalem when he was accused of preaching to the Jews and Gentiles as equals before God. This notion was deeply offensive to the Jewish community in the city, and when a riot ensued, Roman guards arrested Paul to control the crowds. Initially, they assumed that he was causing the disturbance, but once they learned that he was a Roman citizen, they protected him from the Jews by imprisoning him and allowing him to receive visitors. Over the next 2 years, Paul endured numerous hearings from various governors, kings, and authorities, all of whom wanted to determine his fate. However, despite their efforts to have him released, his accusers remained intent to killing him. As a Roman citizen, Paul appealed to Emperor Caesar, and Festus the governor replied, "To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go." As a result, Paul was sent to Rome as a prisoner. He was house arrested with chains where he had freedom to receive people, his friends. Acts last chapter's last two verses noted like this. If you read last two verses of Acts, it informs about Paul's imprisonment in Rome. And it reads like this: "He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaimed the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." Acts 28 verses 30 and 31. So despite his imprisonment, Paul was not discouraged. Instead, he saw his situation as an opportunity to preach the gospel to Romans. During his imprisonment in Rome, he wrote numerous letters to the early Christian communities throughout the region, including the letter to the Ephesians. In today's reading, he explains that he was imprisoned because he preached the mystery that was revealed to him, a revelation that had been hidden from past generations. Although there were inferences of God's universal salvation predicted in the Old Testament, this particular revelation had not been fully understood until it was revealed to Paul. Of course, later even to the disciples, Peter and others. Throughout his imprisonment, Paul remained steadfast in his faith and unwavering in his commitment to spreading the gospel. He saw his imprisonment as a chance to strengthen his relationship with God and to share the good news with others. And in the end, his imprisonment proved to be a blessing in disguise, as it led to spread of Christianity throughout the world, starting from Rome, and cemented Paul's place as one of the most influential figures in Christian history. Why he endured such hardship? He endured such hardship to reach Rome because God said to him while he was on trial at Jerusalem 2 years before in Acts chapter 23 verse 11. It says like this, "The following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage, as you have fully testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" Acts 23:11. See, Paul's energy to endure such hardship comes from God's communication. One of the things that I quite often ask is, okay, you have your situations. Challenging, difficult, problematic, all sorts. But what is God telling you? Now this is so important. One should know and recognize where God is in our lives and what is He communicating. You see, when we are discouraged, when we are let down, you need strength, you need energy to come back to energy levels, to cope with it. So my question to you is, what is your energy? For Paul, it was God's communication. You know, Paul did not pay bribe to Felix, the governor. Just because of that reason, he was imprisoned for 2 years. He had every reason to moan before God. "Why did you give me this situation?" But now, where did his strength lie? What was his energy point? Sometimes I say, my energy comes from my wife, Shaila. If she is with me, I can survive any part of the globe. But if she is not there, my life is miserable. You see the strength? Energy is created. There is companionship. Sometimes I'm sometimes too romantic. I go to a level saying, if Shaila is given another chance of life, I would marry her again. Because we are bond, we are knitted in the Lord. That's our bond, that's our energy. But for Paul was not married. He was a single man. Had to suffer for the gospel. But where is his strength? God's communication. Before he went to Rome, God was telling him when he was in jail, "Be courageous. You have done excellent. Now you have to go to Rome." That journey was not easy. It was a very, very difficult journey. But once he reached Rome, he started sharing the good news. To whom? Not only his visiting friends and Romans, but even the guards. That's preserved in Philippians chapter 3. I'll read it later. So our energy should come from our companionship, from our relationship with God. That's your source of energy. You need touch. You need His voice. You need His presence. It creates energy. Paul talks about the mystery revealed to him in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 3 to 7. This mystery was not revealed to any generation before. That was that the Gentiles were equal heirs with the Jews before God. So this revelation was not only personal to Paul, but also revealed to the apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. If you read Acts chapter 15, you find the details. But as we see in verse 7, Paul called himself a servant of this gospel mystery. The Greek word used here for servant is deacon. The word servant can also in Greek called doulos, but here it is deacon, which means a waiter, attendant or steward who distributes his master's money or food to the poor. In other words, Paul was a humble servant who was passing on God's message of the gospel to the Gentiles. This job was very costly because it took his life with much suffering. However, it was not only about sharing the gospel of the mystery with the Gentiles and winning them for Christ. It was also about forming them of their spiritual and special position in Christ as the members of the body of Christ, sharing God's grace equally with the Jews. Indeed, this was an impossible task of putting the Gentiles and Jews together and calling them one or equal heirs. It was just seeing high caste people and low caste people sitting together. It was one of the most modern miracles. The power of gospel was proved to transform human beings. Because from generations to generation, that gap existed. The gospel broke that gap. The army general sits with the soldier. That's what I said last week. It makes sense to us. Things which are impossible are possible by the power of the gospel. So, as we saw last week, Gentiles hated Jews for their exclusivity, and Jews hated Gentiles as godless people and hated their culture and dominance. So these differences created tensions right from the beginning of the birth of the church. You remember in Acts 2, the church took birth, and immediately in Acts chapter 6, dispute rose within Christians. Greek-speaking Jewish widows were neglected by Hebrew-speaking Jews, leave alone Gentiles. In chapter 15, Jews tried to argue with the disciples that there could be no salvation without circumcision, so Gentiles must be circumcised, they argued. In chapter 21, in the midst of a riot against him, Paul stood up and gave a long speech about his whole testimony of how God met him on the road to Damascus and so on. It's a long speech. They waited till the moment he said, God sent him to the Gentiles to preach the word of God. As soon as they heard from Paul these words, they shouted with loud voice, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. You see, Jewish hatred and animosity towards the Gentiles. Therefore, it was unthinkable that the Jews and Gentiles gathered together under one roof. The Roman government did not recognize Christianity as a separate religion, a religious entity, but thought it was an offshoot of the Jewish religion. There was no church buildings until 300 AD. Only during Constantine's reign in the 4th century did church buildings start appearing slowly. Until then, people were gathering in private houses and hiring public halls for Christian gatherings. If you read Acts 16 to 20, you find that. So the church began with house churches. I want to start a group in Garlidge, a house church. If you come forward, I'll be very happy to come and do a small service or a study. Because we want to expand, grow. That's our passion. So what can we learn from this mystery revealed to Paul? First, we need to understand that God's grace is available to all regardless of race, culture, or background. Secondly, we need to be willing to put aside our differences and work together as one body in Christ. We must be willing to love and accept one another just as Christ loved and accepted us. And finally, we need to be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel as Paul suffered. So let us strive to be humble servants of the gospel, just like Paul. Let us be willing to share the good news of God's grace with all people, regardless of their background. Are there things that are dividing the church today? Many. Very much so. Anglican Church is divided on moral issues. Progressive theology versus biblical theology. Oh, come on, Anand. Get on with time. Move on. Grow up. I heard this many times. The world is changing. You need to change. Bible is written 2000 years ago. It's not relevant. Where did Paul receive the energy? God's communication. Where do modern church receive the energy? This is our energy. This is the living word of God. That's the source of our strength. Gospel creates energy in us. We can no longer bury our heads in the sand. It's coming. The church splits sometimes. Therefore, let us hold on to the scriptural truth. The words that are preserved, the living word, Jesus' teachings, his words are the life to our lives. Lastly, Paul says to the Ephesians not to lose heart in verse 13. He suffered for the gospel, and his present suffering was turned into a great blessing to many, as we have already said. How many letters he wrote during his Roman imprisonment? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. What a blessing. He was also sharing the gospel with even guards, Roman guards. Gosh, that is so difficult. But he took every advantage of it. Therefore, we, the body of Christ, we, the church, is called to be a divine agent, a divine fellowship with a divine mandate. Friends, we may not be the apostles or prophets or trained evangelists to preach the gospel, but we can make ourselves available to God and his service. Filled with God's Spirit, our ordinary words of love, kind hospitality, and care may compel others to seek Christ through us. What I want to really ask you is that, what is the gospel according to you? That's what people wanted to know. Matthew wrote, Mark wrote, John wrote, Luke wrote their own gospels in their own perspective. What is your perspective? And that's what people wanted to know. Gospel according to, put your name there. And share your experience to others, and that becomes the gospel. So as Paul took energy from God's communication, endured his sufferings, went to Rome, not as a minister to the church, but as a prisoner with chains, but still he shared the good news to all people who visited him, including the guards who were guarding him. May these words challenge all of us. Amen.